take a moment and just pray, get ourselves thinking a little bit beyond ourselves. Because so often we are working on ourselves, right? We're trying to work on the issues that are in our life, and we can forget that there's a big world out there. There's a big God, but there's a big world that he's called us to go to and to share his love and his message in. And so we want to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in these next few moments together. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Spirit. Thank you that you never leave us. You guide us and teach us, and you remind us of things. And so as we take these next few moments to think about your word and think about how it applies to this world, help us to grasp what you have for us. Help us to grasp our part in it. We know that you've called all of us to be your disciples, but also to make disciples. So show us how to continue that process and to glorify Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to review a couple of things with you because some of you are new and some of you weren't here a couple years ago. We had our 50th anniversary of the church a couple years ago, and we did a little review as to what this church has been used by God to do in this world. And so I thought it was a good time to be reminded of that. We're going to hear from one of our local missionaries this morning in just a few minutes. But before we do that, I want to think about the Great Commission. First of all, in Matthew 28, when Jesus had already accomplished his work here on earth, and he had risen from the dead, and he had shown himself to his disciples, just before he was ascended into heaven, he gave the Great Commission. And that Great Commission is to go and make disciples, to teach them and baptize them and help them to know God's love through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and the gift of eternal life. That is our mission on earth. And every single Christian on earth who is a disciple of Jesus has the same mission. We share that together. And so as a church, we were reminded of that, and we need to continue to be reminded of that because sometimes we forget. We think like, oh, I've got so many problems myself. I'm just going to focus on all the things I need. And we forget that God has a purpose and a plan for us in other people's lives. He uses us for his purposes so that people can get to know him better through our lives as we share our lives with others. So I want to encourage you this morning, and we're going to look at a couple of verses in the Gospel of Mark. So in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, it says this. It's the parable of the growing seed. And I want you to be encouraged by this because you could get the idea that the Great Commission is this big, heavy burden, something that we have to accomplish on our own, but it's actually a partnership with God. It's something that God has sort of graciously said, hey, come help me do this. God's doing it, and he's doing it through our lives, but he's the one in charge. And so this little parable that Jesus tells, and Jesus doesn't give an explanation for this parable. He just lays it out there for his disciples. In the Gospel of Mark says this. The kingdom of God is like this, Jesus said. A man scatters seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, although he doesn't know how. The soil produces the crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, and then the full grain of on the head, like the full harvest, right? As soon as the crop is ready, he sends for the sickle because the harvest has come. And that's all that Jesus says on that particular parable. So I want to just think about two things in there. Number one is that this is about the kingdom of God. This isn't about our own personal kingdom. This isn't about any government or any group or anything like that. This is about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is creation and everything in it, but everyone who is created is part of God's kingdom. And he's the king over heaven and earth, but he has given us a choice as to whether we'll submit to that kingdom or not. So if you're a Christian, you've submitted to the king, King Jesus, and you've said, I need you in my life. I'm going to submit my life to you, and I want to follow you and do what you've asked me to do. And one of those things is to scatter seeds. Scatter seeds. Now, he's using this, you know, with an agricultural group of people, right? We're semi-agricultural around here. Some of you planted some seeds and planted some gardens. Not many of you are big-time farmers, but we still have to feed ourselves, and so we have farms in this country and around the world that produce things for us. The responsibility on the farmer is to make sure they plant the seed. But they cannot actually make it grow. That's something that God has placed within the seed, and when it is in the right environment, when it's watered, and when it has the right warmth and the right kind of soil, it will grow. Farmer doesn't make it grow. He plants it and he makes sure it has the right environment, but he does not make it grow. And that's where the encouragement is in here. We are, as believers, like the man who is asked to scatter the seed, like the farmer, like share Jesus with others, share his good news, share the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God with others. Just share it. Just let it go. Live your life in such a way that you're continually scattering seeds. And trust God in his timing, in his way, to make those things grow. The soil, it says, produces the crop all by itself, that scripture says. The soil does it, and it just begins to grow. So God's kingdom is advancing. Whether we are acknowledging that or not, whether we're seeing that or not, we have to believe what God's word says, and his kingdom is continually advancing. We talked several weeks ago, I told you that Christianity is growing. It may not be looking like it's growing around us, but it's growing in this world. More and more people are hearing of Christ and coming into his family through faith in Jesus Christ. The seeds are being scattered. I want to encourage us as his church this morning. I want you to understand, even though you're sitting here, right now, you are investing in the kingdom of God. We did a little review a couple years ago. In 1972, which is sort of the official start of the church, until 2024 now, we have sent 165 different people to 65 different nations in the world. We've sent them. We've said, we want to send you as a missionary, as someone who's going to scatter some seeds for us in our place. We'll give you the support, we'll give you the prayer, we'll give you the help, but we want you to go. And it was for the glory of the name of Jesus. We've spent over $4 million doing that. It's a lot of money for a little church, right? It's a lot of money for a little church. But God's people have been faithful to give, as Elder Jim has encouraged us, to give towards the advancement of the kingdom. And we want to sort of review with you where we are even today. So right now we have what is considered a team of long-term missionaries. And then we're going to talk about some short-term missionaries in a moment. But the long-term missionaries, I'm going to review them pretty quickly. We put out a poster every single month in the lobby to remind you to pray for them, but also to know who they are, because you may not have met any of these people. Some of them are here this morning, but many of them have not been here in a very long time because they are out serving in a foreign country. So we have Chris and Laura Dacus, and they are in a country called Albania, right? And they provide community support, refugee support, because of the part of the world that they're in. They're receiving refugees, and they have projects that connect the community needs to helping the poor. One of the commissions in God's word is to remember the widows and orphans. Those who are poor need the assistance and the help through the church and through God's family. So they ask us to pray for continued good health. They're also in the process of transferring, because of their age, they're transferring the ministry into their daughter and son-in-law, Christine and Jason, who are being trained to replace them over there in Albania. Then we have, and you can stand up here this morning, Olga and Yasha. They're residents with us right now, but they serve with Springs of Revival in Belarus, and God has led Olga and her team to minister to many different groups of people in many parts of that country. But we are to pray continually for orphans, for the shelter homes that they have put in place that orphans go to. And Olga's going to say something. Awesome. Okay, if you didn't hear her, there's a camp starting for special needs students. It's starting today, and it will go all week long. So please remember to pray for them. They're involved in so many things, and it's exciting to see how God has used that ministry over the years. We've been over there a few times as a team, and we need to plan to do that again, don't we, Olga? All right. So then that's far away. Let's think for a moment about something local, our local regional high school. We have Wachusett Regional High School right here in our backyard, and Benjamin Johnson, who is, oh, we have to tell you which one he is. He is on this side, and he is there as a Young Life representative, introducing people to Jesus, trying to find ways to help those who are already Christians grow in their faith during those high school years. And so he needs prayer specifically this week also for more adult leaders who are willing to give time this coming fall to the ministry there. The leaders, the volunteer adult leaders, are the backbone of the ministry. And so in order for the ministry to grow, they need local Christians to be a part of that ministry. He works with the next guy, Eric Stolfus, who also is with Young Life. And Eric helps to build the ministry teams in these communities so that they can continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ on public high school campuses. Huge mission field. Huge mission field. And so we have two people who are involved in that work. And Eric is on that side. The other guy's Ben on the other side, I guess. And I don't know who's in the middle. Is that Ben's girlfriend? That's Bridget? Oh, one of our teachers. All right, so now let's skip back onto the global thing here with Brad and Becky Johnson. They were for many years, 19 years, in Thailand, and then as they matured and used their gifts and abilities, now they actually oversee 8 different countries in Asia, and they're responsible for supervising 30 people who work as missionaries in Asia. And so they're just praying that God would continue to bless the work of their hands and help them as they mentor these teams to be effective in that part of the world. Next, back locally here in Massachusetts at least, at UMass Dartmouth, we have the Litchfields, Matt and Rebecca. And they lead a team with crew. Oh, I should look at the slides every now and then. They lead a crew, a ministry called Crew, sorry. And again, it's a college, they're called to college level, the college students, and they're sharing Christ, again, on a state campus there, helping people to know how to truly follow Jesus and to find out what God wants to do with their lives. When you're in college, you're trying to figure out what's the next step? What am I going to do? What's my job? What's my calling? And they are there as missionaries to help those students and the people who work with those students to guide them into God's future for them. All right, so go back to the LeClaires that I skipped. All right, there we go. They were just here recently. So I don't know if you recognize them, but that's Ray and Cindy. They were just here recently and shared a little bit with us. Remember, he got up and he spoke Russian, and the only people in the room who could understand them was probably Olga and Yasha and the kids. But then he shared what God has been doing in the Ukraine and how God has protected the Christian schools and has helped them to continue to persevere through the war there. And so we want to just continue to pray for their health and safety of all their staff and the associates there that we have the honor and the privilege to be a part of. And so there's 3 more. And I want you to know, I mentioned one a little bit earlier. Her name's Ann Roon, and she's with Children's Haven. And we were just talking about camp and helping to support them with, like, food, because food's gotten so expensive. But they continue year-round. They don't just do camp, but they're here in the inner city of Worcester, and they work also in Douglas, sharing God's love, the gospel story with children and teenagers in inner city Worcester, as well as in Blackstone Valley. And we want to continue to pray for them. They have not just the camp this summer, but they try to reach out to the families as well in these events called Summer Family Fun Fests. So there's a couple of those coming up where they just reach out to the neighborhoods. They reach out and try to share Jesus' love and the gospel. And you are a part of that. We are a part of that. Dr. Rick and Deb, wave your hands. Yeah. There's been a transition over this last year, but Rick is still going back to Liberia. He goes every couple months, right? Every 3-4 months, something like that. He's on these trips, but he's partnering with Liberians to provide Christian healthcare in a very remote part of Liberia. So for a long time they were outside of Monrovia, but now he's going far into the darkness out there, right? He's got a truck out in the back. Is that your truck? Someone gave a truck to go to Liberia, so I don't know how you're going to drive there because there's no roads, but maybe put it on a boat or something and get it over there. But to get to those places in Liberia where God has been using them as a medical team to bring his love. And pray for those relationships to develop so that the clinic that they set up there is used by God to really encourage people. And then lastly, and they'll be here in a couple of weeks, Eric and Julie Swanson. Eric and Julie, so if you know Linda Campbell, who played the piano, I think last week for us, but played the piano for many, many years for us, she and her husband. It's her daughter, Julie, and her husband. And they were missionaries in Papua New Guinea for many years. And now, because of his skills with video work, and because everything has become very online-based and video-based, they're actually down in Dallas, Texas, but they work with the International Linguistics Center. And that is a center that is continuing to translate the Bible into native languages. So there are many languages in the world. There's 1,892 that still need translation work to begin on the scriptures. That's a lot of people. It ends up representing 145 million people who don't have the Word of God in their native language. So it's not been translated yet. And so the work continues to need to be done, and Eric and Julie work in that work for us. And we just continue to pray that God would give them what they need to help the Bible to continue to be translated there. So that's a review of what we're currently doing in missions, what we have going on here currently. And every time you give to the church in your tithe and your offering, goes to these missions. It goes to help support them. We have committed ourselves to giving monthly to each of these missions so that the gospel can go forth from here. So it isn't just local, what we do here in this building or what we do here on this property or even in our school. It's international. And I need you to understand that so that the work of God is larger than us. You may never meet the people that you are being used to help reach. You may never meet them, but in heaven one day you'll meet them. But right now, someone else is out there doing that work for you. So we have a number of additional mission works that we have locally that you may be a part of, or you may want to become a part of after the summer. One of those is our school. We continue to reach out through Holden Christian Academy. The other is the Maine South Outreach. Now, Maine South is Maine South in Worcester. So don't get the wrong idea. It's not Maine South Holden or Rutland. It's Maine South in Worcester. And we have been, how many years, Michael? 13 years going down there once a month with some other churches who go on the other Sundays and trying to reach out to that community and doing a fabulous job with that. We also use our food pantry to reach out in mission work to those in our community. We also have, as you know, at Christmas time, Operation Christmas Child, which shares the gospel with every single one of those little gift boxes that's sent around the world. And then, Max, why don't you tell me what's been going on in Dominican? Because this is brand new to me. I was on vacation. I came back, and they're like, oh, Max is having us do mission work in the Dominican. So Max is from the Dominican, but tell us what you're doing there. Wonderful. So through a connection through Max, there's a family, a home that's opened up, and they're teaching the Word of God to those who are underprivileged. They're helping them with school supplies, and we also joined in that just recently. It's about 20 kids that are coming to that. That's great. It's something new. It's something that God is birthing and bringing about. And so thanks for bringing that to us. I really appreciate that. So at this time, I'm going to invite Annette. Now, Annette also has been part of something that God has been birthing in another part of the world that we got to be a part of. This is Annette. Come up This is our friend Annette. You may know her. And she's a prayer warrior, but she also began with a group of people. She began to feel called to pray for a specific area of the world, which I think is cool that God was like pointing out a specific area, and that country is Malawi. Now, last year she shared with us, you may not have been here on the Sunday that she shared, so she's going to share again what God has been doing through this opportunity that opened up in the country of Malawi. Thanks, Annette.
Thank you so much, Pastor Tom, for giving me the space here to talk. Thank you, Holden Chapel. I really appreciate us all here for the work of the ministry. So I'm going to go through the slides, and then at the end of the slides, I'm going to just tell us some things. So the Malawi mission, you know, like Pastor Tom shared, that we are all called and sent out to the mission field. None of us is called to sit in the pews. I know we love to come and sit here in this air conditioner place, but that is not what our mission field is. There is nobody's mission field that is in the church. The mission field is out there. If you look at the way Jesus did his work, he was always going. The Bible says that he said how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and he was going about healing the sick. He was preaching the gospel. He was delivering demons. He was casting out those demons. He was preaching the gospel. He was drawing people into the kingdom. So we are not called, we are only called to sit in the church and get equipped to go out there for the work of God. Amen. So I'm sorry, let me not take time. But so Malawi mission, the Lord, can we go back to the first slide, please? So the vision in Malawi is to actually teach prayers. But we know that anything that has to do with God is to raise disciples for his kingdom. So we went to Malawi this year with the goal of teaching people how to pray, teaching intercessors. So the theme was, Lord, teach us how to pray, in the book of Luke 11, verse 1. We're changing the slide, sorry. So this is the goal of the mission trip, to spread the word of God, to reestablish prayer altars. And how do we do this? We strengthen the church. We teach them prayer. I believe that prayer is something that we have to teach. Because if Jesus was gathered with those disciples, they came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They did not say, Lord, teach us how to, those miracles that you are doing like that, I like them so much. So I want to know how to do those miracles. But the power, the weapon that God has given us is the weapon of prayer. And prayer is the key that unlocks potentials in our lives. So people need to know how to pray. The problem is that people get offended. People get sometimes defensive because they don't know how to pray. So it is good to teach people how to pray in the right way. So that is the mission. And this prayer comes through strengthening the church, preaching the gospel, reaching out to the lost, and making sure that people know that Jesus is coming soon and they have to get into the wagon, the spiritual wagon that leads us to eternity with Christ. Amen. So in 2021, there was a door of missions that was open. I was doing my private thing. I was just praying, and the Lord spoke to me and said, the doors to the nations has been opened. So I took it, kept it, wrote it down. At the beginning of every year, I usually take like a week. I don't go anywhere. I just sit down to seek the face of God and find out what is going on, what God wants me to do, what is the burden in the heart of God. And this is what the Lord laid in my spirit. Somebody else called me, somebody that I really know well, called me and said, Annette, do you know that God is calling you to the mission? I'm like, okay, God. I think because I listened to it, but I threw it at the corner and I was just pondering over it. And then in 2022, we sponsored a missionary we are just a group of people that come together and pray. Holden Chapel has really been, Pastor Tom, I really appreciate your support, and the entire church. Pastor Tom has been in my life forever, and I really appreciate him. Thank you. And so in 2022, we're able to support a mission work in Malawi. And then in 2023, we head out. I heard that there were two of us that went to Malawi, and when we went to Malawi, we just saw, there was just tears in my spirit with what the field is so ripe. The Bible says that it is ripe, but the harvesters are so few. It said we should pray ye God of the harvest to send harvesters in the field. So we went to Malawi, we harvested a lot. So I'm like, oh my goodness, I have to go back. And 2024, which is this year, was my second missionary trip to Malawi. So we went to Malawi and we will just look at some of the testimonies and what God did in Malawi. So actually, my goal in Malawi is actually to target the pastors. Because you see, in the time of Samson, the word of the Lord was so scarce. So when I went to Malawi, I noticed that the word of God is so scarce in the lives of the pastors. And if the word of God is scarce, it means that the church will not be well equipped for what they need. Because the pastors, we are called to equip. The Bible says that to equip the saints. They are called to equip the saints. Whether you are a pastor, an apostle, a prophet, a missionary, an evangelist, a leader in the church, you are called to equip. So if you are called to equip, you cannot equip what you don't have. You always give only what you have. So that was my mission in Malawi, is to really build the pastors. And we had this is a pastoral conference that we had this year. And so many pastors, this is just a group of some of them that attended that training. This one is my left, right? Let me turn like Pastor Tom. So in my right. Oh, anyways, just read what you see there. So I'm confused which one is my right and which one is my left. But you see that we gave out Bibles, we distributed Bibles, because Bibles also, some pastors don't even have Bibles. They don't have. Bibles are so expensive. When I say expensive, the Bible has been translated. Glory be to God. Pastor Tom was talking about translation. It's been translated into their dialect, but it's unaffordable. It is very expensive. Right now, last year when we went, a Bible was $13. This year when we went, the Bible is $17. $17. And it's very expensive for people to buy. So these are some of the people that attended the conference, and those on this side, or whatever that side is, they were given Bibles. And on this other side, you see people that during the conference, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I say filled with the Holy Spirit, I mean with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And this is part of the church. This is what the Holy Spirit came and did on the day of Pentecost. So some of you may be sitting in church and you are wondering what that is. I believe that every one of us is called to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. So let's go to the next slide. So now, during the conference, we had testimonies. We prayed for people, and many people were healed. God did an amazing thing. You know, I just want to share this. You know, each and every one of us here is a vessel. We are all vessels. And it depends on what you want to feel inside of you. But the Holy Spirit is here in the church to fill us. The Holy Spirit is here to fill us. The Lord told, Jesus told his disciples, if you look at Acts chapter 1 verse 4, he said, go ye and wait in Jerusalem. They went and waited in Jerusalem for the power of God to fill them and send them out to the mission field. When the power of God filled them, those disciples were never the same again. My best example is always Peter. Peter is the one that was so intimidated. Peter was so fearful. But the Bible says he has not given us the spirit of fear. Peter was so fearful, so intimidated, but we see what happened to him. When he went and stayed in the upper room, his life was turned inside out. And on the day of Pentecost, he was the first one to come out and said, we are not drunk. What are you talking about? We are not drunk. We have been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that was promised to us. So I believe that each and every one of us in church is a vessel, but you have to bring it and present it as a living sacrifice before God, holy and acceptable before him. That is your worship. You bring that sacrifice, God will fill it, and then you will go out there and empty it out. You cannot just carry it every day, go and put it on your shelf. You are not meant for your shelf. You are not meant for your shelf. When you buy something from the store and come and put it on your shelf, maybe it's food, it's perishable. Our life is perishable if we don't use it. But we have to receive that which God has given us. Go out there and use it. Is it in your family? Is it in your workplace? Is it in your neighborhood? Is it in your community? You can travel to the nations like we have seen people here. There are local people here. You can do it. But there is nobody that is called to come and sit down in the church. You can fill your vessel with whatever you want to fill. But the best thing to do is to fill your vessel with what God wants. Because at the end of the day, you will give an account. So we see testimonies here. People were being healed. There were a lot of testimonies, but these are just few. A man that healed with a leg problem that he has had. He actually came to the retreat, to the program. He was not able to walk, but by the time there, he walked. You see, in the middle there is a lady that had headache. Well, these things are things that I didn't know about them. It's just that when we started praying, these things begin to happen and they gave these testimonies. So this lady in the middle she said she had a headache that has been troubling her for years. And also that lady in the middle had a young, small baby that when she was pregnant, the husband disappeared. And right in there, when she was giving her testimony of being healed with the headache, as she was walking back to her seat, she got a phone call. The husband called her and said that, "I am coming back to into your life. I am sending you money to take care of the child. I'm so sorry that I left you." Instant things that God was doing. And you see the other guy my right hand side, right? This is my right. This guy came to the program, and when we prayed, many people wanted to meet with me, and I said, okay, we'll be meeting, because I was in a fast during that time. So I said, while people are eating, I can meet during that time. So this particular guy approached me and showed me his hands. He said, "Look at my hands. They are so..." His hands, I tell you the truth, his hands were so white. White, like a piece of cloth. His blood was all gone. He told me, he said, "I've been to the hospital. I've been sick for the past 15 years. I said, "Do you believe Jesus?" I said, "I know you're a pastor, but do you believe Jesus?" He said, "Yes, he believed." I said, "We will pray for you." When it was prayer time, we prayed for him, anointed him. And the following day, as was given testimonies, I said, "Tomorrow you will give your testimony." He came back. He was healed. He said the first time in 15 years, he has not seen the blood anymore. So God is a miracle worker. He is still in the business of miracle. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So right now, even in this holding chapel, he is still a miracle worker. The problem is, do you believe it? Do you believe? Do you have faith to come in contact with God and say, "Father, do it for me"? Amen? Let's go to the next slide, please. So you see, this is an example of the lady that you see there in the pink and black. She does not believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. She never believes. All these things, I only know them because they were testifying about it. So she said she didn't believe. But during that conference, she received the gift of the Holy Spirit in the evidence of speaking in tongues. And now on Sunday, when she went back to church, she said during prayers or worship, she could not stop. She had to go out of the church because it was like she was disturbing the church. She could not stop praying in tongues. And this is somebody that has never, ever believed the power of tongues or receiving the Holy Spirit. She said, "I just think that people are just making noise." So, but God touched her. Another man is there who gave a testimony of hearing about the conference, coming to the conference, and his work refused to give him permission. He said, "I'm going anyways." And they told him that if you go, you'll come back without a pay. So when he went, he took faith and went. But when he came back, he was paid. You see, there is a lady there. The lady that you see on the bottom of this picture came, the 2-year-old child. I didn't see the child, but this testimony is the one of 2023, not the one of this year. So this lady said that she came with a child who was sick, had epilepsy for a while. And so when he came, we prayed for him, the child was healed. And so 2023 into 2024, when she was giving this testimony in April, she said, "Since the day we prayed for the child, the epilepsy left the child." Amen. So in Malawi, we see there are two people on the top and two people on the bottom, but the person, that you see that is similar to the one on the bottom is the interpreter. So when you see two each, sometimes they are interpreters. So what has this thing done? There is effective prayer life. The teaching brought people to know that we can pray. God can hear prayer. We can know how to pray. We can trust God to help us to pray. And then even the woman at the bottom there, this is another location. So the other testimonies that were given were in Blantyre. This one is called Sanje. So there are different locations that I went to. This one is in Sanje. And you see the woman at the bottom, she was able to also receive the gifts of tongues, which is in evidence as speaking tongues. Speaking in a foreign language that you have no idea what it is. I have no idea what it is. But when the Holy Spirit comes, you just speak it. You don't have to figure it out. It is not for us to. We like to. I think the problem with the church is that we want to figure it out. But with God, you don't figure it out. You allow God to do it. Don't try to figure it out because you can never outdate God. You cannot. So this lady also had a problem with the leg and the leg pain was healed. Amen. So these are some of the programs. This is still in Sanje. You see the day program and the night program. It was just an amazing atmosphere. Without lights, without lamps. We went there with lamps and we are there preaching the gospel inside of mosquitoes. Go to the next slide, please. So you see, we distributed Bibles again in Sanje. These are some of the people that received Bibles in Sanje. Where is this lady? She's not in church today. So somebody in the church here gave me some school supplies. So when I took those school supplies, I went and we bought some more pencils and things like that and added them to those school supplies. So you see, the students with some school bags and on the other side, they have pencils, pens and all those things. Go to the next slide, please. These are also school supplies and also toiletries like toothpaste, toothbrushes, pencils, pens that were distributed to the youths. I'm telling you the truth. Poverty is a problem. You see a small liter of bottle of vegetable oil. Some of these women in this group, they have never in their lifetime had it. And here we are, we use vegetable oil. Sometimes we throw the thing when we finish frying. We just throw it. We just discard it because you know what? It's right there at the store. We can just buy it. These people did not even have the opportunity to even buy. So I think you've gone too far. Okay. Yes. So we gave distribution to some people. We see just food items. Keep going. And then here, the youth gathering. There were about 102 youths that gave their life to Christ in this meeting. So now, the vision in Malawi, this is like the youth meeting. I believe that God is in the era of using youths, young people. And that is why the enemy is not happy. The enemy has really targeted our children, targeted youths in different capacity, putting them in, you look at social media, you can just cry. Every time I look at it, I'm like, oh my God, what am I seeing in my generation? There's just a lot, but we need to invest in the youths because that is our legacy. That is what we are leaving for them. We need to invest in them, whether we see it physically or we not. Forget about the physical. Forget about what children are doing. Forget about what your children may be doing right now. Don't care about it. Focus in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer is where the transformer is. That is where the power to transform lies. You will transform them on your knees. So I believe in investing in the youth. So we have youth. We have established two youth centers right now as I'm talking. And one of them is in... I'm not going to call the name because I'm not used to those names. So we have established two youth centers. And so we have voted. They voted a chairperson, vice secretary, treasurer, and committee members. So they are also evangelists, pastors on the field that will be following up. And from here, I'm also following up with them to make sure that they are standing for the gospel. Amen. So in total, this is a summary of what we did. We gave out 65 Bibles to adults. We gave out 10 to the youths. We gave out the food items. We gave out school supplies. We gave out flashlights. We gave out also first aid kits. We gave out power banks for their Bibles, for them to charge their phones, because electricity in Malawi is just terrible. Like, you can be sitting like this and the power is gone. Like, in one of the nights we're in the program, the power was out. So we had to use the lamps that I brought from the U.S. here, and we were using it to preach the gospel. Nobody left. We were still standing there. I'm sure if that light went off here, everybody would be heading home. Amen. So those are the things that were divided. So now, about 146 people, both adults and youth, gave their life to Christ. They accepted Jesus. They came out and confessed that Jesus is Lord. They surrendered their lives to Jesus. Many times people are in church. They think that coming to church is the real thing. No. Coming to church is just a vehicle that is taking you to the place where you give your life to Christ. It is not Jesus. If you are sitting in church today and you know that you have not given your life by confessing, coming out and say, you know, each and every one of us has a biological birthday. What is your spiritual birthday? Your spiritual birthday is the day that you come out and you say, Jesus, forgive me. I want to give my life to you. I want to give my life to you. I want you to take me. I want you to hold my hand and lead me, because I've been living my life in my own way. I want to begin from this day forward to live it for you, because we are not created for ourselves. Nobody should deceive you. You are not created for yourself. You are created to worship God. That is why you are created. Nobody here is created for themselves. So we have these people that gave their life to Christ. We have two youth groups that are going on. And then there are many leaders in the community that are following up. And then there's also attendance, church attendance and prayers have really expanded in Malawi. Go to the next slide, please. So to end, we still need Bibles in Malawi. I tell you the truth. There's nothing like looking at people coming to preach in the church. So I asked a pastor, I said, where are your Bible? He said, I don't have. I said, so how do you preach on Sunday? He said, I go and borrow it within the week, study it, and then come back. I'm like, oh my goodness. So that is what we have in Malawi. But I'm going to call Pastor Tom to come up with me. But before, as Pastor Tom is coming, this is what I have to share with us. This great commission is for each and everybody. Your feel is that the feel is different for each and every one of us. But each and every one of us has a potential that God has put in us. And that potential is not for us to take it and just lay down with it. That potential is not for us to just carry it and put it on a shelf in our home. And then on Sunday, we just come and sit. So we lift up holy hands in one accord. Well, God is looking at you, lifting up your holy hands and asking you questions. Is it all about you? What about the people out there that are not safe? What about the people on your street? What about, you know, there is a man on my street who always put up this Halloween thing. Every time I pass, I'm like, my spirit is so grieved. I'm like, what nonsense is this? Where I live? What nonsense? Every time I pass through that man's door, I say, you will receive Jesus, whether you like it or not. So far as you stay on my street, you will receive Jesus. Every time I pass by, God is looking at each and every one of us. There is a mission field. Have you asked God, where is your mission field? You need to ask God that question. Where is? It may not be to go to Malawi. It may be to go to Malawi. You know what? I go to Malawi. The first year I went to Malawi, on my way back, right at the airport, I hit like a bump on my leg. Bam! I turned around. I could not find anything. I couldn't walk. I started dragging my leg. I was dragging my leg. There was nothing. I turned and asked the lady I was standing, what happened? He said, what? I said, something just fell on my leg. You know what? I dragged that leg into the air, into Tanzania, where my transitional flight was. I went to the bathroom and I held my leg. I said, you arrow of the enemy, out now, in the name of Jesus. I said, by the time I reach the United States, you will not come with me. You are not following me. Let me tell you something. And I said, by the way, I'm coming back. And I went back. Saving God is not a rosy garden. There are challenges. But Jesus, so far as Jesus is the driver of your car, you will overcome them.
So don't look at yourself and say, but I'm not equipped. You have been equipped. Pastor Tom is here. Pastor Jonathan is there. You have been equipped already. So what is the equip that you want? You want more? Come and see him. He's right here. Come and see him. You need to go out. You, whether it's on your street, you don't have to go to the mission field. That's okay. You don't have to go to Malawi. That's fine. You don't have to go to Belarus. That's fine. But what about here? What about here? Where are you? Where is your mission field? I want to leave you with this. Where is your mission field? If you think that this is something that is challenging you in your spirit, you don't know how, or you think that you don't have the strength to do it, or you think that you are not called to do it, that is the enemy telling you. Every one of us is called to do it. And every one of us has the ability to be equipped because the Holy Spirit is alive within you. You cannot kill it. So you can come out and we will pray for you.
Thank you, sister. I'll give this back in a minute.
So as the worship team comes up, the challenge is before you. Number one, if you want to have the spirit of evangelism on you to share the good news, ask for it. You have not because you ask not. Ask God to give you that spirit. If you say, oh, I've never done that before, it's okay. Come now and ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you up so that you can pour out his love. The other thing that we wanted to give you as a challenge is help us raise money for these Bibles. If you want to give a special gift today, you can mark it, four Bibles, and put it in the offering plate, the offering boxes on the way out, and help us to purchase more Bibles. The fact that pastors don't have Bibles, I mean, how do they preach? What do they preach? You know, we need to equip them for the work of the ministry there in Malawi as well. So we're going to sing a song. During the song, if you feel you want God to use you in your mission field, wherever that is, it could be your own household, you come down and we will pray for you this morning. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.